Of four sermons on prayer, and just remind you that Sandy Baptist Church is in an interregnum, and it needs to be praying about its future and where its future will take it. And it was suggested that there would be a lot of prayer needed, and it might be a good idea to just review what indeed prayer is about. So I spoke to you, it seems a long time ago now, but this morning I'm on number two. Just let me just recap on what I said some weeks ago. That Christians are called to find a personal spirituality. That spirituality should be faithful to the Bible and the plan that God has for them as individuals. And that we don't need to imitate. We don't need to imitate anyone. It's an individual thing. It's not a free-for-all, however. The aim is to meet God through bringing the Bible, the human spirit, and the Holy Spirit together. And we need to acknowledge at the very beginning that we don't really know how to pray. Not really. And there's no such thing as a perfect prayer. But you remember I talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit takes our inadequate utterances and makes them into the perfect prayer for the heavenly realms. And we talked about like the Holy Spirit being like an enlarging machine. You know, we talked about an enlarged machine where you throw a thimbleful of water into it, and out the other end comes a huge wave of water. That's an enlarged machine. And the Holy Spirit acts like that when we pray. It communicates our feeble prayers, translates our words and thoughts into the perfect language of God, and ensures our prayers fit the will of God. Fit the will of God. Many people, in fact, all of us have probably tried to define what prayer is. And I've got some quotes. The last time we were here, we read four quotes of what different people in different times have tried to isolate what the essence of prayer is. And we've got another four this morning. So whoever stands up first, can you read out, and then the other three can follow? Nice big voices. If you just turn around and face the people so they can hear. It's a people's understanding of what prayer might be. Thank you. All challenging definitions of prayer, and I have some other definitions as well when I subsequently talk to you. Well, prayer is work. It's work. It includes times of exhilaration and enjoyment, but the Bible also teaches us to expect it to be disciplined and committed in our prayers. It's work, but we need to be careful what we pray for. There's a lovely story about a 60-year-old lady who, before she went to bed, she prayed, "Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I want to have the skin of a teenager." And when she woke up the next morning, she had pimples and all sorts of marks on her face. Pimples and acne. Be careful what you pray for. I wonder how many prayers I've made in the past, which were just silly, really silly. And they were much more about me and my wants than anything else. But Jesus tells us how to pray. Phil, if you would like to read for us the first part. This is the well-known portion of Scripture where Jesus tells us how to pray. Is that right up to the Lord's Prayer bit? Yeah. Okay, Tom, you've got the next bit. The Lord's Prayer, as we've come to know it, not intended to be a form of words that we just blandly repeat, but it's more meant to be a pattern for our prayers. And when we sort of analyze that pattern, we realize that that pattern begins with praise and it ends with praise. I wonder why that should be so. Well, would we be encouraged to pray if we thought that our God was hopelessly ineffective, couldn't care less about us, had no powers or abilities? Well, we would be very reluctant to actually bring our prayers to such a God. So we begin with praise because that encourages us to believe that our prayers are actually going somewhere important, that they're being heard by a God who loves and cares and has the ability to change things and to grant things. We lift our spirits up. We become optimistic in our circumstances that here we have a God who is all-powerful. And that's the sort of person we want to bring our prayers to, not an ineffectual, couldn't-care-less God. And having built ourselves up in praise, we then can bring our petitions and we can bring our everything else that's on our hearts. But when we finish, we actually come back with praise and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for hearing my prayers." So the Lord's Prayer begins with praise and it ends with praise. It reminds us of who God is. We need to also remember that prayer has been given for our benefit, but it's also because it pleases God. And when we look at that whole aspect of prayer, there are some things which actually are important about what we bring to prayer. These are not in any list of importance, but let me say first of all about honesty in prayer. Honesty with God, rather than an attempt to influence Him or to influence others. It shouldn't be a covert attempt to do either of those things. Another little story about two boys, two brothers, 10-year-old boy and a 7-year-old boy. The 10-year-old boy, James, prays, "Lord God, please look after mummy and daddy and all and keep us safe tonight." And then his 7-year-old brother followed and shouted at the top of his voice, "Dear God, please let me have a set of rollerblades for my birthday." "You don't have to shout," said the older brother. "God isn't deaf." "No, God isn't deaf, but my granddad is." Honesty before God. Honesty before God. There's no point in being anything else, because God knows our heart anyway. To use prayer as an attempt to manipulate God or anyone else isn't going to be productive. If it isn't in His will, it ain't going to happen. Doesn't matter how earnest we are in that prayer, if it's not for our good, it will not happen. That's sometimes a hard lesson to learn. And sometimes we only see the benefits of that in retrospect, when we look back after some years have passed. You know, God doesn't... He wants honesty, and He wants clarity, and He wants simplicity. He wants to know our hearts. He wants simplicity. He wants simplicity rather than religious jargon. I'm sure you will have heard prayers and with a very deep voice. I mean, I come from the Northeast, and we have a distinct accent, but I've heard Geordies pray, they lose their Geordie accent, and that they talk in, I can't do it, but very religious tones. And you wonder why they do that. Because I don't believe that God is interested in religious jargon. I have a picture of God when He hears religious, you know, when children, when you discipline children, they don't want to hear. They stick their fingers here, la, 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 la. I have a picture of God doing that when the religious jargon comes. You know, I'm sorry if that's blasphemous, but that's how I see it about religious jargon. God is interested in the heart. He's interested in when His devotees approach Him with a simple heart and simple needs. Religious jargon very often carries with it little love, little warmth, little human understanding, sensitivity. And I don't think ultimately God understands religious language. And as I say, I think it's sometimes He is selectively deaf to it. But I believe God is moved by hearts spluttering out their pain, expressing their despair, I believe he understands a sincere, loving heart which offers praise and thanksgiving without any ulterior motive. God understands that and takes hold of it. Honesty, simplicity. I think we need a bigger sense of joyfulness also to our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Be joyful always." Always bring our prayers joyfully rather than grudgingly. Now, I know it's not always easy. It's hard sometimes. But we need to be honest again and offer up our where we actually are at with coming to prayers. "Lord, I really find it really hard. I really don't want to be doing this now, but I'm doing it." Honesty. "I want to be joyful when I come to you. I want you to help me make this time a real blessing, Lord." I'm being honest. "But I want this time to be a real blessing. I want you, Lord, as we talk to each other, to lift my spirits." Lift my spirits. But I think the joy of the Lord also wants thankfulness when we come to pray. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We need to pray not only requests, but thankfulness in all circumstances. And that's hard, believe you me. I remember many, many years ago, I had just become a Christian. I was still wrestling with so many things. And and somebody who I loved dearly hurt me immeasurably. And Christian friends, you know, would try to help. And I remember visiting one man, just wanting some comfort. And he said, "Frank, I want you to pray and give thanks for your present circumstances." I thought, "What? I'm devastated. I don't know where to turn. I'm in great pain, and you want me to say thank you, Lord, for these circumstances?" It was many years later that I realized how true that was. Because of those circumstances, my life changed. And it became very different to what it was before. Very different. And I understood how the Lord can take things, all circumstances, and make them honorable to him. So give thanks in all circumstances, not just the goodies, but in all circumstances. But it's hard. It's hard to say, "Lord, I'm really in pain. I don't want to be here, but I thank you for it." Try it. You see, God's working out his purposes, and ultimately there will be a blessing for you. And we need to believe that in faith. You know, faith isn't faith until it's all we're holding on to. And these days of great turmoil and uncertainty, our faith is going to be tested. Is this a God who is going to see us through? See us through this winter? See us through this economic crisis? See us through our health battles? We talk about faith, but I do always remember that phrase, "Faith isn't faith until it's all we're hanging on to." And maybe it's a good thing that we have to face crisis, because our faith is tested. And we can come out the other side and say, "Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord." But it's only in retrospect, as we look back on our life, will we see that God has been working his purposes out. And finally, I want to say something about prayer, about awareness. Awareness. It says, again, Thessalonians 5 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. That the answers to our prayers may be the Holy Spirit's leading us to change in our actions. You see, when we pray, Lord, grant us this, grant us that, we have an understanding and we have a desire which is of our hearts. And the Lord gives us something else. And we can feel angry or bitter about that. But remember, the Lord will not grant us anything that's not in his will. Maybe he's asking us to change some things. The answers to prayer are great when they give us what we want. But what about when they challenge us to change things? What about that? We need to understand and be aware of our circumstances, aware of what God's purposes are. Read the signs. We can be encouraged by the signs. You know, let me just paint a scenario for you. You have a great desire to be a missionary. Great desire to be a missionary. But I've just been promoted at work into a job I always felt I could do really well. And me and my wife have just found out that we're expecting our third child. Can you see the dilemma there? What is God telling me in these things? What is he telling me? We can ask ourselves, if God's called me to be at a missionary service, would I also be presented with these dilemmas? Would I be presented with them? Would I have to face those difficulties, that dilemma? Or would the pieces fit together a little better? Now, I'm just going to leave it there. But can you see what I'm saying about reading the signs? When we pray and we're looking for answers, also take into account the signs that surround us. Be aware. I want to close by just saying some things about the rules of prayer. Well, you'll be pleased to know there are no rules. No rules. No rules to prayer. No rules to say when we should pray, how we should pray, how often we should pray. No rules. See, when we look at the lives of Jesus and the saints, Jesus seemed to value a discipline of private prayer in the early morning. If you read that in Mark 1. Peter chose the middle of the day, Acts 10. Paul, middle of the night, Acts 16. And then there's references, biblical references to prayer in private solitude. There's references to prayer in public places. There's reference to prayer just in words. And there's references to prayer in non-verbal ways as well. And the Bible seems to recommend and to commend all kinds of prayer that is regular. Regular. I don't know about you. I don't find it easy to set aside time for prayer. Oh yes, when going's difficult, when I have a dilemma to face, when I need some answers, yeah, woof, I'm there. But on an ongoing basis, do I find it easy to pray? I don't. Sorry, but I don't. I do admire people who have that discipline, and I wish that I had it. And I do pray that, Lord, make it easier for me to pray. Ephesians 6 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep our prayers for all the saints. Anytime, anywhere. Walking the dog. When you're stopped at the traffic lights, just as you're going to go through and the red light comes on, just pray. Pray for the people either side of you. Lord, just bless that driver. Bless that driver. Pray in all circumstances, any time. See, the Bible never leaves us in any doubt about the power into which we are connected when we pray. And I'm going to close with a reading from James 5. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. If anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you that you've left us the tools of prayer to talk to you and to listen to you. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us bereft, blindly seeking your will in a misty environment. But you've equipped us, Lord. Help us to be prayer-minded. Help us to see its value, Lord. Help us to see results. Help us to see your kingdom come as a result of our prayers. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.